Skeletal Muscle Anatomy and Physiology. This lecture offers an in-depth examination of skeletal muscle anatomy, physiology, and clinical applications, particularly in the context of surface electromyography, SEMG, and biofeedback. Beginning with foundational concepts in muscle structure and function, the text reviews the three types of muscle tissue, skeletal, cardiac, and smooth, and distinguishes skeletal muscle as both a contractile and endocrine organ. Key structural elements such as myofibrils, sarcomeres, and connective tissues are described to clarify how muscles generate force. The text then proceeds to discuss electrophysiological mechanisms, including muscle action potentials and the properties of motor units, providing a basis for understanding SEMG signals. The classification of skeletal muscle fibers by contractile speed and fatigue resistance establishes a clear connection between anatomy and function, linking the two. The signal characteristics of EMG, particularly in relation to fatigue, are examined to support the practical interpretation of SEMG. Reflexes, such as the stretch and tendon reflexes, are introduced to explain involuntary muscle control, while muscle action principles and roles, prime movers, antagonists, and synergists, are explored in detail. Finally, clinical applications are emphasized through sensor placements and anatomical considerations for monitoring specific facial and postural muscles, reinforcing the integration of anatomy, physiology, and biofeedback in therapeutic practice. Skeletal muscle anatomy. Skeletal muscle anatomy provides the foundational understanding for interpreting motor function and EMG recordings. The surface electromyograph, SEMG, records the electrical activity in muscle fibers before contraction, reflecting the motor command rather than the contraction itself. This non-invasive method has broad clinical and performance applications, from rehabilitating neuromuscular disorders to enhancing athletic training. SEMG biofeedback is particularly valuable because it enables individuals to visualize and modulate muscular activation through voluntary control. Muscles produce movement, stabilize joints, generate heat, and support posture, all of which is mediated by their highly structured architecture. The muscle fiber membrane's ability to depolarize and generate action potentials is the signal captured by EMG, which precedes the mechanical action of contraction. Understanding this distinction is crucial, especially when interpreting EMG amplitudes, which indicate electrical activation but not the resultant force. Three types of muscles. The human body contains three primary muscle types: skeletal, cardiac, and smooth, each with distinct structural and functional properties. Skeletal muscles are striated and under voluntary control, typically anchored to bones by tendons and responsible for body movement and posture. Cardiac muscle is also striated but involuntary, forming the myocardium and rhythmically contracting to pump blood under autonomic control. Smooth muscles lack striations and contract involuntarily, regulating functions such as digestion and blood flow in hollow organs. Smooth muscle cells are spindle-shaped with a single nucleus, and their contraction is typically slower and more sustained than skeletal muscle. In contrast to skeletal muscle's rapid, forceful actions, smooth muscle responds gradually, often with intrinsic rhythmicity, and is modulated by both neural and hormonal signals. Cardiac muscle fibers are interconnected by intercalated discs, which enable synchronized contractions essential for heart function. Despite the differing control mechanisms, all three muscle types share the fundamental property of converting chemical energy into mechanical work via actin-myosin interactions. Skeletal muscles are endocrine glands. Recent research has established that skeletal muscles act as endocrine glands, secreting signaling molecules called exerkines in response to physical activity. These bioactive peptides and metabolites facilitate interorgan communication and contribute to systemic physiological regulation. For instance, growth and differentiation factor 15, GDF15, promotes fat metabolism by enhancing lipolysis in adipose tissue. Other exerkines such as thymusin beta, 4, TMSB4X, apelin, kynurenic acid, and lactate play roles in cellular signaling, immune modulation, and even the regulation of neurodegenerative disease progression. These substances form the molecular basis for the health-promoting effects of exercise, demonstrating how muscle activity can impact brain function, metabolism, and inflammatory processes. The secretion of exerkines by skeletal muscle also highlights a mechanism by which physical training exerts protective effects far beyond the musculoskeletal system. Recognizing skeletal muscle as an endocrine organ expands its role in health and disease, informing both preventative strategies and therapeutic interventions. Skeletal muscle system. The skeletal muscle system is composed of individual muscle fibers organized into functional groups and enclosed by connective tissue layers that facilitate contraction and the transmission of force. Muscle fibers range in diameter from 10 to 100 micrometers and in length up to 30 centimeters. The sarcolemma encloses each fiber, a specialized plasma membrane capable of generating action potentials. Muscle tissue exhibits four key physiological properties: electrical excitability, contractility, extensibility, and elasticity. These properties enable muscles to receive electrical stimuli, generate force, stretch under load, and return to their original shape after deformation. Muscle fibers contain numerous myofibrils, each composed of contractile units called sarcomeres, which are the smallest structures responsible for contraction. The number of muscle fibers is genetically determined and remains constant throughout life, although their properties can be modified by training. The muscle system integrates seamlessly with the nervous system to produce movement, regulate posture, and maintain internal homeostasis. Filaments comprising the sarcomere. Sarcomeres are the fundamental contractile units within skeletal muscle fibers and are composed of precisely organized thick and thin filaments. Thin filaments, primarily made of actin, are approximately 8 nanometers in diameter and 1 to 2 micrometers in length. These filaments extend across the I band and partially into the A band. Thick filaments, composed of myosin, are about 16 nanometers in diameter and also 1 to 2 micrometers in length, forming the core of the A band and connecting at the M line. The regular arrangement of two thin filaments per thick filament enables the sliding filament mechanism, in which actin and myosin interact to shorten the sarcomere during contraction. Sarcomeres are delineated by Z-discs, dense protein structures that anchor the thin filaments and maintain the alignment of contractile units. When viewed under a microscope, the alternating light and dark bands of the filaments give skeletal muscle its characteristic striated appearance. The precise organization of these filaments is essential for efficient and coordinated contraction, which underlies all voluntary movements. Muscle fibers. Muscle fibers are multinucleated cylindrical cells containing hundreds to thousands of myofibrils aligned in parallel. Each fiber is encased by a sarcolemma and supported by internal and external structural elements that maintain integrity during contraction. The cytoplasm, also known as sarcoplasm, houses organelles, including mitochondria for energy production and the sarcoplasmic reticulum for calcium storage. T-tubules, invaginations of the sarcolemma, conduct electrical signals deep into the fiber, ensuring synchronous activation of myofibrils. Muscle fibers are classified based on their metabolic and contractile properties, which contribute to different movement profiles, such as endurance or power. The fiber composition within a muscle can vary depending on its function, with postural muscles containing more fatigue-resistant fibers and muscles used for rapid, forceful actions containing more glycolytic fibers. The uniformity of fiber type within a motor unit, however, ensures consistent response characteristics during contraction. Understanding the structure and function of muscle fibers is vital for interpreting SEMG data and predicting muscular behavior under load or fatigue. Sarcomere organization. Sarcomere organization is integral to the function of skeletal muscle fibers and determines the pattern of contraction. The A band represents the length of the thick filament and forms the dark central region of a sarcomere. At either end of the A band, thick and thin filaments overlap, facilitating the sliding mechanism that produces contraction. The I band, which appears lighter, contains only thin filaments and is bisected by the Z disc, which anchors actin filaments and marks the boundary between adjacent sarcomeres. Within the A band lies the H zone, a narrow region composed solely of thick filaments, which becomes narrower as filaments slide past one another during contraction. At the center of the H zone is the M line, composed of proteins that stabilize the position of thick filaments. The alternation of A and I bands along myofibrils gives rise to the striated appearance of skeletal muscle under a microscope. This structural arrangement ensures that the force generated during contraction is directed along the muscle fiber's longitudinal axis. Myofibril and sarcomere elasticity. Myofibrils exhibit elasticity, largely due to titin, a massive elastic protein that connects the Z-disc to the M-line. Titin stabilizes the position of thick filaments and contributes to the passive elasticity of muscle fibers. Its extensible segment allows it to stretch more than 4 times its resting length, providing a recoil mechanism that helps return sarcomeres to their resting length after contraction or elongation. This spring-like quality of titin helps maintain the central position of the A-band and preserves the structural alignment necessary for efficient contraction. Myofibrillar elasticity enables muscle fibers to absorb mechanical strain and mitigate damage during eccentric contractions, where muscles lengthen under tension. This property also enables skeletal muscle to function efficiently across a range of lengths and resist injury during repetitive movements. The elasticity of myofibrils ensures that muscles can contract and relax repeatedly without losing their structural integrity or functional capacity. Alpha-actinin and myomycin connections. Alpha-actinin is a structural protein that binds actin filaments to the Z-disc, providing lateral stability to the sarcomere. It forms a lattice-like structure at the Z-disc, anchoring thin filaments and linking them to adjacent sarcomeres. This protein plays a crucial role in maintaining sarcomere alignment and ensuring uniform contraction along the length of the muscle fiber. Myomycin, on the other hand, is a component of the M-line, which connects adjacent thick filaments and interacts with titin. These interconnections stabilize the central portion of the sarcomere and align the thick filaments for optimal overlap with actin during contraction. The cooperation of alpha-actinin and myomycin ensures the mechanical cohesion of the sarcomere and the efficient transduction of force. Without these proteins, the internal architecture of muscle fibers would collapse under the stress of repeated contractions. Their presence illustrates the complex protein scaffolding that supports muscular performance and resilience. How skeletal muscles generate force. Skeletal muscles generate force by the coordinated contraction of sarcomeres, pulling the Z-discs closer together. This process, termed active tension, is driven by the cyclic interaction of myosin heads with actin filaments, a mechanism known as the sliding filament theory. When a muscle receives a neural signal, calcium ions are released from the sarcoplasmic reticulum, allowing myosin to bind to actin. ADP hydrolysis provides the energy for myosin heads to perform power strokes, pulling actin filaments toward the center of the sarcomere. The collective shortening of sarcomeres across multiple muscle fibers results in macroscopic muscle contraction. Force generation depends on the number of active crossbridges and the degree of overlap between actin and myosin. Muscles are capable of producing both static, isometric, and dynamic, isotonic, force, with the pattern of motor unit recruitment determining the strength and precision of the movement. The balance of force production and control is essential in both voluntary actions and reflex responses. The role of connective tissue. Connective tissue plays a vital role in organizing muscle fibers, transmitting force, and contributing to the elastic properties of skeletal muscle. Muscle fibers are grouped into bundles called fascicles, surrounded by paramecium, while the entire muscle is encased in epimysium. Individual fibers are wrapped in endomysium, a fine connective tissue that supports capillaries and nerves. These layers converge at the muscle's ends to form tendons, which attach muscles to bones and facilitate movement. The fascia, a broader connective tissue sheath, compartmentalizes muscle groups, enabling coordinated action while preventing friction and strain. Connective tissues store elastic energy during stretching and release it during recoil, contributing to both active and passive tension. This elasticity is crucial for smooth and efficient movement, particularly during activities that involve cyclical or high-load contractions. The structural support provided by connective tissues also protects muscle fibers from mechanical damage and helps transmit force generated within the sarcomeres to skeletal structures, enabling locomotion. Motor units. A motor unit consists of a single alpha motor neuron and all the extrafusal muscle fibers it innervates. These units vary in size and composition depending on the functional demands of the muscle. Small motor units, containing a few fibers, are responsible for fine, precise movements such as those required in the larynx or ocular muscles. In contrast, large motor units may contain thousands of fibers and are designed for generating powerful, gross movements, as seen in the gastrocnemius. Each motor unit's fibers share the same type of fiber, ensuring a consistent response to stimulation. Motor unit recruitment follows the size principle, where smaller, more excitable units are activated first, followed by larger units as demand increases. This hierarchical recruitment enables smooth increases in force production and minimizes fatigue. Rotation of motor unit activity also prevents exhaustion during sustained contractions. SEMG captures the collective electrical activity of multiple motor units, with amplitude and frequency reflecting recruitment levels, synchronization, and fatigue. Understanding motor unit physiology is essential for interpreting EMG recordings and designing effective training or rehabilitation protocols. Muscle action potentials. Muscle action potentials, MAPs, represent the electrical depolarization of muscle fibers in response to stimulation by a motor neuron. The transmission begins at the neuromuscular junction, NMJ, where the alpha motor neuron releases acetylcholine, ACH, into the synaptic cleft. ACH binds to nicotinic receptors on the motor end plate, causing sodium ions to enter and potassium ions to exit the muscle fiber, shifting the membrane potential from a resting negative value to a positive one. This rapid depolarization propagates along the sarcolemma and down the transverse T tubules, triggering the sarcoplasmic reticulum to release calcium ions. The increase in intracellular calcium initiates contraction by allowing actin and myosin crossbridge formation. The enzyme acetylcholinesterase, ACE, then breaks down ACH, terminating the signal and allowing repolarization. The sodium-potassium pump restores the negative resting membrane potential. It is this depolarization, not the mechanical contraction, that is captured by SEMG. As a result, the EMG waveform reflects electrical readiness for contraction rather than mechanical output. Understanding the physiology of motor action potentials, MAPs, is crucial for analyzing signal timing, amplitude, and propagation in surface electromyography, SEMG, biofeedback, as well as for distinguishing between normal and pathological neuromuscular patterns. Types of skeletal muscle fibers. Skeletal muscle fibers are categorized into three types based on their metabolic characteristics, contraction speed, and fatigue resistance. Slow oxidative, SO, fast oxidative glycolytic, FOG, and fast glycolytic, FG, fibers. So fibers are small, red, and rich in mitochondria, capillaries, and myoglobin. They generate ADP via aerobic metabolism and sustain prolonged contractions with minimal fatigue, making them ideal for postural functions. FOG fibers are medium-sized and capable of both aerobic and anaerobic ADP production, allowing for moderate endurance and faster contraction than SO fibers. These fibers support intermediate duration activities such as sprinting. FG fibers are large, white, and contain high glycogen stores but few mitochondria or capillaries. They rely on anaerobic glycolysis, fatigue rapidly, and are recruited for short bursts of high force activity. Motor units contain only one fiber type, and recruitment follows the order of SO to FG fibers based on the intensity of stimulation. Fiber types can be partially transformed through training, but they cannot be interchanged with one another. EMG frequency content varies by fiber type, with SO fibers producing lower frequency ranges and FG fibers contributing to higher frequency bands. This distinction aids in EMG interpretation, particularly in assessing fatigue and the effects of training. The EMG signal. The EMG signal represents the summation of electrical potentials from active motor units. Surface EMG, SEMG, measures voltages in the range of microvolts, reflecting the recruitment and firing rates of underlying muscle fibers. Signal frequency spans 2 to 1,000 Hz, but critical components for surface recordings lie between 20 and 200 Hz. Slow twitch, So, fibers generate lower frequency components, 10 to 90 Hz, while fast twitch, FOG, and FG, fibers contribute higher frequencies up to 500 Hz. The amplitude of the SEMG signal correlates with the number of active motor units, their size, and their proximity to the electrodes. SEMG waveforms are sensitive to electrode placement. Signals are valid only when electrodes are aligned with muscle striations. Crosstalk and signal averaging across muscles reduce fidelity. Filtering is essential for accurate interpretation. Using an inadequate bandpass can mask activation or fatigue. Signal interpretation must account for motor unit rotation, recruitment order, and muscle depth. Thus, SEMG provides a dynamic, real-time assessment of neuromuscular activation patterns, useful for clinical diagnostics, rehabilitation progress, and performance optimization. Fatigue. Muscle fatigue, characterized by a decline in force output over time, reflects metabolic and neuromuscular changes that can be detected using surface electromyography, SEMG. As fatigue sets in, motor unit firing rates decline, and additional motor units are recruited to maintain force. These adaptations shift the EMG power spectrum toward lower frequencies and reduce median frequency values. The accumulation of metabolic byproducts, such as lactate and hydrogen ions, contributes to changes in muscle fiber conduction velocity, further altering EMG characteristics. The extent and pattern of these changes depend on fiber type composition and the nature of the contraction, isometric versus dynamic. Monitoring EMG fatigue indicators is crucial in rehabilitation, where overtraining can hinder recovery, and in ergonomics, where sustained contractions may lead to musculoskeletal disorders. A wide bandpass filter improves the detection of these spectral shifts. Clinicians can use EMG to track endurance capacity, design appropriate workloads, and detect signs of neuromuscular pathology. In SEMG biofeedback, fatigue indices inform pacing strategies and identify early signs of muscular overload. Muscle action potentials are briefer than the muscle contraction period. The muscle action potential, MAP, is brief, typically lasting 1 to 2 milliseconds, and precedes the mechanical phase of muscle contraction. After the MAP depolarizes the sarcolemma, calcium ions are released into the sarcoplasm, where they bind to troponin, enabling the actin-myosin interaction. Mechanical contraction, by contrast, has a latent period and can last 10 to 100 milliseconds. This discrepancy highlights a key point in SEMG interpretation. The signal measures electrical readiness, not the contractile force. During the contraction phase, myosin heads attach to actin filaments and perform power strokes using ADP. Hundreds of myosin cross bridges form and break in rapid succession, generating the sliding of filaments and shortening of the sarcomere. As contraction ceases, calcium is reabsorbed by the sarcoplasmic reticulum, leading to relaxation. The sodium-potassium pump restores the resting potential, preparing the muscle for the next activation. Recognizing the temporal dissociation between electrical and mechanical events is essential for accurate timing analysis in EMG recordings and for understanding lag in muscle response during rapid or reflexive actions. Skeletal muscle contraction. Skeletal muscle contraction can be classified as isometric or isotonic. In isometric contractions, muscle tension increases without significant fiber shortening, as seen in postural maintenance or when holding a plank. Isotonic contractions involve changes in muscle length and can occur either concentrically, shortening, or eccentrically, lengthening. Concentric actions occur during lifting, while eccentric actions control the descent of weight, as in squats. Eccentric contractions often generate greater force and are more prone to induce muscle soreness and injury. Muscles operate in functional groups with coordination among agonists, antagonists, and synergists to produce smooth and controlled movement. For example, opening and closing the mouth engages multiple muscle groups in sequential activation. EMG biofeedback captures these muscle activation patterns, highlighting timing, intensity, and symmetry of muscle contractions. The complexity of movement arises from the integration of neuromuscular commands, mechanical constraints, and proprioceptive feedback. Biofeedback can enhance motor learning by helping individuals recognize and refine activation patterns. Understanding contraction types is crucial for selecting appropriate exercises during rehabilitation and for setting goals in motor retraining. Stretch reflex. The stretch reflex is a fundamental neuromuscular mechanism that maintains muscle tone and posture by automatically counteracting muscle elongation. Muscle spindles, specialized sensory receptors embedded within skeletal muscles, detect changes in muscle length and velocity. These spindles contain intrafusal fibers whose central regions are innervated by sensory afferent neurons. When a muscle is stretched, the central region of the spindle elongates, triggering a signal sent via type 1A afferent fibers to the spinal cord. This input synapses directly onto alpha motor neurons that innervate the same muscle, causing it to contract and resist the stretch. This monosynaptic reflex occurs rapidly and without cortical involvement, exemplified by the patellar tendon reflex. The stretch reflex contributes to the automatic regulation of posture by stabilizing limb position during movement and in response to perturbation. It is also modifiable through supraspinal input and can be attenuated or exaggerated in various neurological disorders. In biofeedback, understanding the stretch reflex enables clinicians to assess involuntary muscle activity and develop targeted interventions for spasticity or hypotonia. Moreover, awareness of this reflex is crucial for distinguishing between voluntary and reflexive EMG activity during training or diagnostic assessments. Tendon reflex. The tendon reflex, also known as the inverse myotatic reflex, protects muscles and tendons from damage due to excessive force. Golgi tendon organs, GTOs, located at the junction between muscle fibers and tendons, function as mechanoreceptors that detect tension rather than stretch. When a muscle contracts strongly, the GTOs are activated and send afferent signals through type 1B fibers to the spinal cord. These inputs synapse with inhibitory interneurons that reduce the activity of the alpha motor neurons innervating the contracting muscle, resulting in muscle relaxation. This reflex prevents overcontraction and potential injury by interrupting the motor drive when tension becomes excessive. Unlike the monosynaptic stretch reflex, the tendon reflex is polysynaptic, allowing for greater regulatory complexity. The tendon reflex is crucial in clinical settings for assessing lower motor neuron function and in EMG analysis for interpreting involuntary responses to loading. Biofeedback training can modulate this reflex, particularly in hypertonic states, enabling patients to achieve smoother and safer muscle activation. The tendon reflex highlights the significance of sensory feedback in maintaining musculoskeletal integrity and regulating force output. Muscle action. Muscle action refers to the specific movement produced by muscle contraction and is influenced by the muscle's origin, insertion, and alignment relative to a joint. Muscles are anchored at two points: the origin, typically proximal and stationary, and the insertion, usually distal and mobile. Contraction pulls the insertion toward the origin, producing joint movement. However, depending on the body position or movement pattern, these roles may reverse, a phenomenon known as reverse muscle action. Muscles work in agonist-antagonist pairs, where the agonist performs the movement and the antagonist allows it by relaxing. The designation of agonist or antagonist is not fixed to a specific muscle. Still, it is context-dependent, determined by movement direction, which segment is stabilized, and the functional goal of the action. Synergists assist the agonist, and fixators stabilize the origin. For example, the biceps brachii flexes the forearm, while the triceps brachii must relax for efficient movement. In closed-chain activities, such as squats, the distal limb is fixed, allowing movement to occur proximally and thereby altering joint biomechanics. Understanding muscle actions is essential for EMG placement, as co-contraction or misactivation can be identified and retrained. Biofeedback helps optimize these interactions by promoting correct recruitment patterns and reducing maladaptive activation common in neuromotor disorders. Muscle actions, sensor placements, and clinical applications. Detailed knowledge of muscle actions and precise sensor placement is crucial for obtaining valid EMG signals and accurately interpreting neuromuscular activity. Electrode placement must consider the orientation of muscle fibers, proximity to motor points, and avoidance of crosstalk from neighboring muscles. For each muscle, its primary action, anatomical location, and clinical relevance inform the positioning of the sensor. For example, the frontals elevates the eyebrows and wrinkles the forehead. Sensors are placed between the eyebrows and hairline to assess tension-related headaches. Similarly, the temporalis and masseter muscles are evaluated for temporomandibular disorders using landmarks like the zygomatic arch and jaw angle. Clinical applications extend to facial palsy, cervical dystonia, and shoulder pain, where upper trapezius and cervical paraspinal monitoring is particularly informative. Bandpass settings and unilateral or bilateral montages are chosen based on muscle function and signal characteristics. This level of specificity enables clinicians to identify asymmetries, overactivation, or insufficient recruitment, and to provide targeted corrective training. The integration of anatomical knowledge, sensor technique, and clinical presentation forms the foundation of effective SEMG biofeedback interventions. Skeletal muscles of clinical interest, face. Facial muscles are of particular interest in biofeedback due to their involvement in emotional expression, speech, and disorders like Bell's palsy or stroke. Each muscle exhibits a unique action and requires anatomically guided electrode placement for optimal results. The frontals raises the eyebrows and is targeted in stress-related conditions. The temporalis and masseter are involved in jaw elevation and are frequently implicated in tension-type headaches and temporomandibular disorders. The zygomaticus contributes to smiling and is monitored in facial reanimation therapy. Orbicularis oculi controls eyelid closure and is assessed in blepharospasm and hemifacial spasm. The sternocleidomastoid rotates the head and is relevant in torticollis, while cervical paraspinals manage head posture. The upper trapezius muscle elevates the shoulder and is often hyperactive in response to stress and postural strain. Accurate placement over these muscles enables targeted assessment and intervention. Bilateral monitoring helps detect asymmetry and guides neuromuscular retraining. Understanding facial muscle function and sensor placement enhances diagnostic sensitivity and supports individualized therapeutic protocols in both neurological rehabilitation and psychophysiological stress assessment. Skeletal muscles of clinical interest. Beyond the face, numerous skeletal muscles are clinically significant for EMG biofeedback in pain management, motor retraining, and functional restoration. The posterior deltoid, triceps brachii, and biceps brachii are crucial for upper extremity movement and are monitored in cases of brachial plexus injury or stroke recovery. The latissimus dorsi aids in arm adduction and rotation and is relevant in shoulder rehabilitation. Forearm muscles, such as the extensor carpi ulnaris and abductor pollicis brevis, are important in hand function and occupational therapy. In the lower body, the vastus lateralis and vastus medialis stabilize the knee and play a critical role in patellofemoral pain and post-surgical rehabilitation. The tibialis anterior, responsible for dorsiflexion, is vital in treating foot drop. The gastrocnemius powers plantar flexion and is essential in gait retraining. The erector spinae muscles maintain spinal posture and are frequently monitored in chronic low back pain. Proper sensor placement and clinical interpretation in these regions enable clinicians to assess motor control, diagnose dysfunction, and inform intervention strategies. Biofeedback enhances the patient's awareness of muscle use and facilitates targeted neuromuscular adaptation. Practical takeaways for EMG monitoring. Successful surface electromyography, SEMG, monitoring relies on both technical accuracy and a thorough understanding of physiology. First, SEMG captures the depolarization of muscle fibers, not the mechanical contraction itself. Thus, practitioners must interpret amplitude and frequency changes in terms of motor unit activation, not muscle force. The muscle action potential is brief, lasting 1 to 2 milliseconds, whereas mechanical contraction persists for 10 to 100 milliseconds, emphasizing the need to correlate electrical and functional data thoughtfully. Second, electrode placement is critical. Sensors must be aligned parallel to muscle fiber orientation and centered over the muscle belly to minimize crosstalk and maximize signal fidelity. Recording across striations or too close to neighboring muscles will contaminate the signal, making interpretation unreliable. Third, Understanding the muscle's fiber composition helps in signal analysis. Slow oxidative fibers generate low-frequency signals, while fast glycolytic fibers yield high-frequency components. This informs both bandpass filter settings, commonly 20 to 200 Hz for clinical SEMG, and the interpretation of power spectrum shifts, particularly in fatigue assessments. Fourth, correct signal processing is essential. Using an inappropriate bandpass can misrepresent relaxation or fatigue, particularly in clinical settings like chronic pain or neuromuscular disorders. Fifth, knowledge of motor unit recruitment patterns facilitates the evaluation of training and rehabilitation progress. Small, fatigue-resistant units are recruited first, followed by larger, more forceful units. This size principle is observable in EMG amplitude and spectral shifts. Lastly, practical knowledge of reflex pathways, stretch and tendon reflexes, and common muscle actions allows the clinician to identify involuntary activity and maladaptive patterns, guiding more effective biofeedback training protocols. SEMG thus provides a dynamic, real-time window into neuromuscular control, one that must be interpreted with anatomical precision, physiological insight, and technical rigor. Conclusion. This comprehensive overview of skeletal muscle structure, function, and clinical application reinforces the essential integration of anatomical, physiological, and electrophysiological knowledge in biofeedback practice. From the basic organization of sarcomeres and myofibrils to the roles of connective tissue and motor units, each component contributes to the muscle's ability to generate force in a controlled manner. The interplay between fiber types, motor recruitment patterns, and action potential dynamics provides a nuanced understanding of muscle performance and fatigue, which is crucial for accurate SEMG interpretation. Furthermore, the delineation of muscle actions, reflex arcs, and synergistic coordination underpins both functional movement and therapeutic intervention. Detailed sensor placement protocols and knowledge of muscles of clinical interest, particularly in the face, limbs, and postural chain, enable targeted EMG assessment and evidence-based treatment. Biofeedback emerges not merely as a technology, but as a learning-based intervention informed by deep biological principles. Whether the aim is to restore function after injury, improve motor control, or enhance athletic performance, this understanding ensures that interventions are precise, personalized, and grounded in the intricate physiology of the human motor system.